The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. All right, so college win totals out now. And went over a couple of the bad ones. Let's do the Big 12. Oklahoma, top of the list, 9.5. Over minus 140, under plus 110.
I'll go over.
Coaching change. I might take the under.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you either way, honestly.
Oklahoma State, over 9 is your number. Minus 110 both ways.
Give me under.
Baylor, 7.5. Over is even. Under minus 130. I'll take the under on that. TCU, 7.5. So this is what all these teams kind of grouped in the middle. One of them has to be better than this, right?
I'm going to go over on TCU.
They're plus 105 if you like the over. Kansas State, 8. Seems like the right number to me.
I'd go under.
Texas, 7.5.
Give me over. I think they went 8.
West Virginia, 7.
Under.
So I might go over on that. Iowa State, 5.5. Texas Tech, 5.5.
Under.
Kansas, 3.
I think that's the number. I'd go under if I had to.
Is your microphone working? I can barely hear you over there.
I don't
know. There you go. Now it's better. I think you're just talking too far away from it.
How about this?
That's much better. All right. Let's do the SEC.
Okay.
Alabama, 10.5.
I'll go over.
Over is minus 200.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. Auburn, 8.5.
Give me over.
Georgia, 8.5.
I'll go over with him, too.
LSU, 9.
Under.
Yeah, with that new coaching staff, I don't know what to expect. Florida, 8.
Oh, God, I'm so tired of buying into that nonsense. It should be.
Oh, come on.
It should be, I thought you were going to say Florida 9, and it was going to be an insta under.
Yeah. It seems about right, though.
Yeah, 8 is what I would guess. I don't know. I think the number is 8, so it's a...
Yeah. Tennessee, 7.5.
I'll go over there.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. Aggie, 7.
Over.
Yeah, they win 8 games every year, right?
Yeah. I think they can win 8.
Kentucky, 7. That almost sounds hard to say.
I mean, they're better.
Yeah.
I'd be forced to say under.
Arky Pig, 7.
Under.
Missouri, 6.5.
Under.
Vanderbilt, 6.
Under.
I might take the over on them. I think they might have a pretty good year. Ole Miss, 5.5.
Under.
Mississippi State, 5.5.
Over.
South Carolina, 5.5.
Under.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and do the A's.
You remember when South Carolina was a good football program?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, actually. Interesting, we talked in the AAC, we mentioned Houston's number being 8. South Florida's number is 10. That seems high to me.
Yeah, that's a tough one, though. I may go...
It seems like a number I would say. I guess if I had to choose, I would say under that.
Yeah, that just seems awful high for them. But they're favored to win the conference, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
But do we care about anybody else in that conference? I really don't. SMU is 5.
No.
Navy 7. Navy usually wins over 7 games.
I'll go over on Navy.
Yeah.
They did almost lose to Army last year.
They did. Memphis 8.5 is the second favorite there. Let's do the Pac-12. I know you love you some Pac-12. USC, the Trojans, 9.5.
I want to say over, but I've been such a sucker for that team. I love that quarterback so much.
If it makes you
though.
Feel better, over is minus 180. So
I'd have to take over. I love that offense, and I feel like they're talented enough to do it. I just don't know if they'll ever be good.
How about Washington 10? Pretty good last year. Their quarterback's pretty good, too.
I like their quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go. That's the number, though. I don't think I want to go over that.
Over is plus 115, so they think they'll go under. Stanford, 8.5.
Give me under there.
Colorado, 7.5.
Over.
See, I think they fall back a little bit.
I do, too, but I think they fall back to 8 wins.
Oregon, 8 wins.
Man. I might go under there.
I just don't know what to expect with a new coach. UCLA, 6.5.
Oh. I think over.
Yeah, give me the over on that. The over is minus 165, so that's what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Washington State, 7.5.
I'll go under.
Oregon State, 5.5. Well, Washington State will lose to somebody stupid early, and then
thinking.
They'll win 8 games. Oregon State, 5.5.
Under.
Utah, 6.5.
Over.
Yeah. I think they're going to be better than that, right? And over is plus 105 on Utah.
Yeah, I'll go over there.
Remember when the Arizona schools used to be good?
I do.
Arizona State, 5.
God, they need Brock Osweiler. I will go. Yeah, that seems like about the number. I guess gun to head, I would say over, but I think 5 is right.
Arizona 5.5.
I'll go under.
And Cal 3.5.
God, and Cal win 4 games. I'll go under.
I don't think they can.
I don't either.
I won't do the whole ACC, but Clemson, Florida State, and Louisville all 9.5, and Miami 9.
Man, ACC getting some love.
Yeah, Virginia Tech also 9. I'll take the under on Virginia Tech.
I'll take under on almost all of those.
I mean,
I guess somebody's got to win 10. But
I think Florida State's going to be really good, but they also have a pretty tough opener.
Yeah.
There's a lot of love for Miami out there, too, but 9 games, eh. But Duke, 5.5. Remember when Duke wasn't that bad?
Yeah.
5.5. I think I might take the over on Duke.
I might take that.
All right, here's your Big Ten. Some big numbers here at the top. Ohio State, 10.5.
What have we heard about JT Barrett's health?
I haven't heard much lately.
Okay.
So. That seems high, though.
That does seem high.
Under is plus 120.
Because I also think Michigan is on the come this
Well, that's
year.
The thing. When you look at these next 3 teams, with their numbers, it seems like Ohio State's just too high. Because Wisconsin, 9.5. I'd probably go under. Penn State, 9.5. Michigan, 9. So for
Penn State, 9.5?
Yeah.
Give me under there.
Yeah. Under is even money. Over is minus 130.
Yeah, I'll take under on Penn State. Although, the Big Ten is so... The way their divisions are split up.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I like the over on Michigan. I think Michigan's in the playoff this year.
Okay. So they're 9, and over is minus 180. So Northwestern is 8.
Yeah, JT Barrett said that the rumors of his broken wrist are lies.
Okay.
I still don't want over 10.5.
Northwestern 8 do anything for you?
I'll probably lean under.
Minnesota, 7.5.
I'll go over there.
Iowa, 6.5. That seems low. They always win.
Yeah, I'll go over. I don't think they'll win a lot, but I think they could win 7.
Nebraska, 7.
Man. I think that's probably the number, sadly, for Nebraska.
Maybe they shouldn't have been firing their coach when he was winning 9 games every year. Indiana, 6.
Under.
Yeah, give me under on that. Under is even money. Michigan State, not that far removed from being one of the better programs. 6.5.
I feel like they should be better, but they lost. What were they? 3-9
They were terrible
last year,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll go under.
The rest of them, Illinois, 3.5. Maryland, 3.5. Rutgers, 3. Purdue, 2.5.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with any of those.
Yeah, they're all pretty bad. Do the independents real quick. BYU, 8.5.
Give me under.
I don't know, man. They got a 40-year-old quarterback.
That's true.
Army, 7.5. I don't know if they're going to win more.
Yeah, I'd go under there.
Notre Dame, we already mentioned, 7.5. And your beloved UMass, 3. How they even get in there. God, I'm looking at some of these at the bottom. Like Rice, 3.5 in Conference USA. UTEP. How about a team that's fallen way off? 2.5 is UTEP's number.
How about, man, that is fallen way off. What about UTSA?
Let's see. UTSA is 6.5.
Okay.
So, Western Kentucky, in case you were curious, is the pace setter in Conference USA at 9.5. They also lost their coach.
Yeah.
So, under is plus 105.
I don't like betting these things so far out.
Me either.
I like to wait until right before the season.
I know. I haven't even done my go through all the magazines yet.
Yeah.
That's like in the next couple weeks that we start doing that. So, I'm trying to see. Who else do we care about? That's pretty much it, right?
I think that's about it.
Texas State, 2.5.
Not so good. That's not great.
When you have the lowest win total in the Sun Belt Conference, it's not good.
No.
Not good. Our poor friends in San Marcos, I feel for you.
You know what I feel for?
People who don't eat Raising Cane's.
People who don't have Raising Cane's. Those poor, poor folks. And not only do they have the best food, which they do, they're using all the finest ingredients, the premium cuts of the chicken and the fresh sides, the sauce that's made in-house every single day. The Texas toast that's so good has that perfect little amount of garlic butter on top. All those things are great. What's greater than that with Raising Cane's is they're active members of the community. They are a partner of the teams, groups, and organizations that help make Houston great. They do this in all their communities, but they definitely do it in Houston. Go to canesandcommunity.com to learn how they support your next event. They help out with education, feeding the hungry, pet welfare, active lifestyles, business development. They do it all. And right now they're helping you out even further. It is that time, National Chicken Finger Day, right around the corner, July 27th. And to celebrate, Raising Cane's is giving away a trip for two to the Fried Chicken Festival in New Orleans. I didn't even know that was a thing, the Fried Chicken Festival, but I want to be there. Enter for a chance to win at RaisingCane's.com/FCF2017. That's RaisingCane's.com/FCF2017 for National Chicken Finger Day. Hopefully, I will see you there. Raising Cane's, one love.
Hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Texter says, basically, where are you going to find 3 losses on that LSU schedule? Well, taking a look at it, yeah, they have a very favorable schedule. But you also have a new coaching staff. I don't know that they're going to – I don't know if they'll be better than they were under Les. Yeah, they open with BYU. That should be a win. But BYU's got a bunch of 40-year-olds. You don't know.
I don't know what to expect out of them.
Yeah, Chattanooga, that's a win. At Mississippi State, you expect to win that. Syracuse, you expect to win that. Troy, you expect to win that. So they could very easily be 5-0. Then you go to Florida. I don't think that's a gimme. Then you got Auburn. That's not a gimme. At Ole Miss, at Alabama, that's a loss. Arky Pig, at Tennessee. I could see them losing a couple of those swings. And then they'll beat A&M because they always beat A&M. But they could lose to Tennessee.
Yeah.
At Tennessee.
Well,
they could lose to Arky.
Like,
they could lose to Florida. SEC they could lose to Auburn.
All these mid-tier SEC teams, everyone from like Arkansas up to LSU, I mean, every one of those teams could beat the other on any given day. The only teams I feel comfortable that I know are good in the SEC this year, Alabama and Auburn. Everybody else, I think Georgia's pretty good. I wouldn't bet my kid on it. But Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU, Aggie, I don't know. I don't know. Kentucky, I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing. LSU's always been kind of at the top of that group.
Typically they're in that tier with Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah, but
I don't think so right now.
I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know what kind of coach Orgeron's going to be. I love the offensive coordinator they hired, but is that going to make them good enough? I don't know. I mean, you guys were in a big hurry to get rid of Les Miles. It's one of those be careful what you wish for things. So we'll see. But I don't look at those games and say, oh, I can't. There's no way they lose to Florida, Auburn, Tennessee, Arkansas. I mean, all those are losable games. I mean, it'd be fun to see LSU be good again, but I don't know what to expect of them. And I don't know that if you're expecting them to be better than what they were, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I kind of found it interesting the last couple of days that there have been all these talks of Portland wanting Carmelo. And
he basically just said, no, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So Portland's players were reaching out to him, according to Woj. Portland would love to get involved in this and become a team Melo would consider. Well, he says Carmelo would not consider waiving his no-trade clause to join the Portland Trailblazers. So, basically, he's only greenlighting a move to two teams, which is what has been the case all along.
Then it's probably just not going to get done.
Either that or they're just going to have to buy him out. I mean, I don't think he's in their plans or trying to get something for him. But, you know, it's under his control. He's got a no trade.
Yeah.
It's his choice. That's why he has that. And the Knicks apparently have gone to him and asked him to be interested in other teams. Like, nope. So, if you're the Knicks, your options are getting pretty limited. You basically either trade him to one of those teams or, you know, you
suck it up and deal with him
and buy him out, or you just keep him. But I don't think he's in their plans. So
I don't think they're gonna. Well, I don't think they're gonna buy him out. I think at this point they'd rather just keep him and than buy him out. That doesn't make any sense for them.
Yeah,
I mean nobody expects the Knicks to be good this year anyway, so they might as well have him there.
Yeah, although if you've got other players that you want to start making the focus of your team, like Porzingis and guys like that,
right?
Well, what good does it do to have him around?
Well, you don't pay him money to leave.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you do. I mean, that's what you have that buyout for.
Yeah.
But I think I just wish something would happen so that we're not having to talk about Carmelo all the time. It's like, if he's here, great. Let's talk about it. If he's not, oh well. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you saw this story, to me, it's kind of funny because I think these guys watch too much Better Call Saul, because a guy in England was on his moped, right? So he basically pushes it into a car. It drives up on to a, it falls on the windshield of a car.
Okay.
It's pretty obvious that he's doing this on purpose so he can get paid. But this is why maybe you should have a dash cam, because the motorist had a dash cam.
Oh, boy.
And so she caught the whole thing on tape, goes out there and starts calling the cops, and a guy goes flying away. It's hilarious. But, yeah, it's a very cool video if you get a chance to see it. But basically he's like pushing it along, and then he jumps in front of the car and tries to act hurt. And it's like, nope, got it all on tape right here. I guess people really do that kind of stuff.
They try. I would guess what do you think the success rate is?
I guess it depends on where you're doing it, because if you're in a big city, people are going to see that stuff. Yeah, if you're walking around downtown New York and you try to pull that, there's going to be 50 witnesses. So I bet it's not that successful there. But, you know, downtown Albuquerque?
Yeah, maybe.
You might be able to get away with it. Certain parts of downtown Houston, I think you could get away with it. Tough way to make a living.
Yeah.
Because you can get yourself hurt. But, yeah, the video is worth your time if you have a few minutes.
I'll have to check it out. I can't imagine that many people get away with that nonsense. But somebody had to at some point.
Well, but here's the thing,
though. It's harder and harder now because there's video cameras everywhere.
Yeah, and on streets, too. But if you think about it, it's kind of typical. If you prey on the elderly, those are the ones you would get away with it with.
Yeah.
They don't know any better. It's like, oh, I was just driving. I didn't see a poor man. People who shouldn't be driving, basically, are the ones who probably get scammed on this. John looks like he wants to weigh in on this.
No, I'm just going to... If you have money to get a dash cam, get a dash cam. I recently got a dash cam.
You got a dash cam?
Yeah, just in case something happens in front of me or, you know, there's an accident, I can prove that.
Or in case the cops beat you?
Yeah, that too. You know, little Asian guy.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen these gender reveal things?
No.
There's two that went viral the last couple of days. Yesterday, one went viral because these two couples are doing like a baseball, the wife is like throwing up a ball filled with like powder. It's either blue or pink, depending on the gender. She throws it, and he's supposed to swing because it's supposed to pop. He lets it hit the ground because he felt like he didn't have a good angle on the ball. So it pops on the ground, and it was pink. And then he looks at his wife like, what the hell? Like, she threw it bad. But you only get one try at this. Well, today, a wife throws another softball thing. A wife throws it at her husband. He hits it with the metal bat, and it comes flying and hits her face, but it does not break. And she like, yeah. And you hear the ping, and it hits her face, and you're like, oh.
Black eye? Like, she messed up?
Did she die?
I think she survived.
Because then you wouldn't be having a baby.
No. Well, you. Mm.
That'd be kind of ironic, right?
Yeah.
ESPN is your number if you want to get in. That's a pretty weird way to. It's a pretty weird way to go out and tell your spouse what sex the baby's going to be.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather just. Hey, boy, awesome.
Well, just going back to the chick that had the threesome. It's just attention whores.
Apparently, she's done a bunch of porn, according to somebody.
If you Google her. Yeah. What do you call her? The pug?
The pug, yeah. What was her name? Lily the pug?
I think it's that Lena the pug.
Lena the pug. Yeah. So he says, only weird bad things happen to people who have dash cams. I wish I'd had one when I got in my accident because that guy got away.
Hey, this is the one that hit her in the face.
One, two, three.
Oh!
That didn't go well.
That's a YouTube fail.
Are you okay?
No.
Oh,
you're not supposed to hit it that hard?
Oh, please. Please.
Well, he did hit it really hard, and it didn't pop. So.
Well, that's the point of swinging hard, is so that it... If he didn't hit it hard, it would have just gone dink and nothing would have happened. That's on the chick. Was it a boy or a girl? Did we ever find out?
No, no, it didn't break.
So no one knows. All right. Jerome Solomon up next. Scheduled to join us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Behold the king. The king of kings. On your knees, dog.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we are back on The Blitz. And the music, 5:30 on Tuesday, means it's time for Houston Chronicle columnist, Twitter man, follow him on Twitter, Jerome Solomon, TV guy, a little bit of everything, Jerome Solomon joins us, also known for fighting with Daryl Morey on Twitter, apparently. Why are you going after Daryl Morey?
It wasn't exactly a fight.
No, not really, but...
It was a Twitter kerfuffle. At a minimum,
at best, Daryl was having a little fun, I'm sure. But it is funny how sensitive some people in this town can be. It's actually pretty sad, but it's funny because it keeps us laughing. That's for sure.
Well, it does seem odd, and I agreed with you. I didn't know if it was real or not, or if there was actual, like, if he was really pissed off at you, but. I agree with you completely. I think throwing a parade for basically trading for a guy who very well could be here for a year is pretty damn silly.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's not like, you know, I dog the fans for going. I mean, you go, even though y'all is going to see a guy stand there for 5 minutes on stage. It's not like, you know, if they really wanted to give something for the fans, then throw a free preseason game. How about that? You
know, yeah.
Let them come and watch him actually play basketball. But it's I make fun of those things and always have and always will. From the University of Texas throwing a parade for winning the Cotton Bowl and on. That's why if you win the championship, I'm all for it. And it's just not that complicated. And, you know, you can throw a parade in June if you win at all. This kind of thing is ridiculous. And the Heat did it, and everybody dogged the Heat for it, and they should have, but they at least were getting the best player in the league.
Right.
You know? And I'm one who, you know, I'm on here with you arguing every week about the good moves they've made. And, yeah, this is a great trade for them. It don't deserve a parade.
Well, what's going to happen now that Les Alexander is gone? Is this one of those things where it's going to be business as usual, or does this change the dynamic for the team here and what kind of moves they might make, including Carmelo?
It's going to be business as usual until a new owner comes in, and then, you know, you'll have to see what happens and where it goes from there. No, the NBA model and most professional sports now, except for Major League Baseball, they fall in place. I mean, this is how much you spend. This is how much the cap is. And unless you want to go over the cap and pay the luxury tax, this is how much you're going to make. I mean, it's an easy business in that sense, in terms of how it operates. So they don't have to do anything spectacular. And if they go get Carmelo, it's not because they're going to have to put out $30 or $40 million off the bottom line. In fact, you know, it's you trade, you get back what you get in terms of salary or whatever, and the value of your franchise will go up with Carmelo Anthony on the roster, even if it would be just for a year or whatever, compared to a Ryan Anderson or something. So no, I think they continue what they're doing and act like, you know, it is what it is. I don't think this is going to be a fast sale either. I mean, Les is going to make a whole lot of money in making this sale, but he's not desperate to make it either.
Well, when you come out and say the team's for sale, I always think it's weird when that happens. Usually it's somebody wants to buy it, and behind the scenes, and then billionaire A says, oh, I'm not looking to sell, and billionaire B says, well, I'll offer you this much, and billionaire A says, oh, well, maybe then. It just seems odd. Like it's almost like putting a for sale sign in the back window of your car. It seems weird to say, hey, it's here. If anybody wants it, come get it.
Yeah, that makes me think that there's something else behind this, and I'm not even going to speculate. And, you know, it's one of those things that until I know, you know, I won't even go there. But it just seemed odd. I thought it was weird. And I talked to Les on Friday and didn't even really – I was dumb. I didn't even ask him about his lack of a presence at the Chris Paul parade. You know what I mean? He was there. But – he wasn't on the podium, and he didn't speak, and you know all that. I talked to him for a long time, and I didn't even think to ask, why weren't you involved? So, you know, I don't know what else there is behind it, but when you have something like this, yeah, you put up the sign in the back of your car because you want everybody driving by to maybe dial the phone number and give you a call because you want to widen the net in terms of prospective buyers. There's not a whole long list of people who can afford the Houston Rockets. So putting out the for sale sign on the Rockets doesn't change anything because there's only a handful of people who are capable of making a move.
Do you think it'll be one of the guys who came out yesterday, Tillman Fertitta, or any of those guys that would wind up being the eventual buyer, or do you think it's going to be some Chinese billionaire?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to be Tillman or a Mattress Mac. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Mattress Mack doesn't have that kind of dough, does he?
He would put together a group, you know, and then, of course, be the voice and face of said group. I mean, that's probably the type of deal. I don't know how much money he has. He's got a lot, but I'm sure he can, you know, be part of a group of people that can make such a thing happen, and he would certainly be very interested. But and Petita obviously could make it happen as well. I get the sense it's going to be somebody that we don't know and we're not familiar with. And yeah, it would be fascinating to have a, you know, international buyers come in and Yao Ming, who owns the team now, being part of that and the lead of that. And that would be a pretty interesting thing. And of course, you know, I like to get to know owners very well. So Beyonce is my personal choice.
Jim McInvale's net worth, according to celebritynetworth.com, $75 million.
Yeah, he
yeah, that's gonna come up a little short.
Yeah,
it's gonna come up a little short. Yeah, he can. Well, he can get maybe a row of seats at Toyota Center for that.
Yeah, he can't even pay off James Harden's contract.
No, yeah, James Harden would own him at that. Yeah. If that is indeed the case.
Well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Tillman's worth 3.2, but man, that's also everything you own. That's the value of your restaurants.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, and like I said, I mean, if, you know, again, he could put together a group where, you know, he only puts up, you know, a percentage and, you know, but he goes down as the majority owner and, you know, oh, he could make it happen, you know, but Les is a real serious businessman. He's gonna sell to the highest bidder. It's pretty simple. So there ain't gonna be no hometown discount because this ain't his hometown. He don't give a damn.
Well, and at this stage, when you see some of these franchise values, and I mean, we always say, well, they can't keep going up, but are they going to be able to keep going up when these TV deals start expiring and they're not getting as much money back out of those? I mean, is this not a perfect time to sell if you're Les?
Yeah, you say that. And it makes sense, but it always has. So yeah. Until it stops, nobody's going to believe it. I mean, Charlie Thomas bought the team in the 80s and said, I can't afford to pay Moses Malone because he wants to make more than the whole rest of the team. And Moses went to the 76ers and got a contract where they paid him extra based on sellouts and, you know, et cetera. And then Charlie Thomas turned around and sold the team for a huge profit, you know, down the road when he sold it to Les. I mean, and the NBA wasn't what it is now back then, right? So, yeah, no, it continues to go up. It goes up and goes up, and it always has, and it always will until it doesn't. I mean, I you would think that eventually it'll stop, but they go and find new revenue sources and new television contracts and already – Silver is talking about, you know, how they're dealing with the Silicon Valley and, you know, places like Twitter getting into the next contract situation, et cetera, et cetera. So the money keeps rolling in. You own an NBA team or an NFL franchise, you're making money at before a game is even played. You can sell to zero seats and you make money. You know what I mean? And that's just business.
Yeah, and a few years ago when your buddy Jim Crane bought the Astros, I thought he overpaid at $600 million. But guess what? That's these franchise values going where they are turns out to be about right.
Yeah, and that was the price of poker at the time. You want to get in on this winning hand, you got to put it up. And that was just the way that it was. He would have loved to have gotten in under less than that, I'm sure. But yeah, these things continue to go up. And baseball, you can read all over and people talk all they want about the game is slow and the kids aren't keeping up with it and blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're making more money now than they ever have. You know, eventually, I'm with you. It has to stop. I don't know when it will, because there's just people need content, and baseball has that content of, 180 of these suckers, and basketball has 80 of those, and that's just, that's feeding the beast.
Last thing before we let you go, obviously not good news that Carlos Correa got hurt and is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, but kind of our take on it is, offensively, they could fade this for a while. How big a blow is this for them?
Yeah, it's a big blow just because it's the first position player that they've had go down. So all season, and the reason they've been able to overcome what their pitchers have done is because their hitting has been so strong. So one guy out, whomever it is not going to kill you. But you've been so lucky to this point in the season. Is this the first domino, as it were? If your bad luck starts to hit and you start losing another player, or somebody else goes down, Altuve sprains an ankle and is out for 3 weeks, then all of a sudden your offense starts to slip and slide even further, and that's where the trouble will come in while they're still trying to get the pitching back. So it could be an issue. And Correa was going so strong and playing so well, you need him to be at full strength, speed, timing, et cetera. When the playoffs come around, who knows how long it'll take him to get back up, or he might just come back and hit the ground running, but it's another concern, you know what I mean?
Indeed. All right, that's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle all-around superstar. Joins us every Tuesday. Jerome, appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll be talking to you a lot next week, I'm told, as you'll be filling in for
us. Maybe not next week, but the week after. I'll get in there sometime.
For awesome.
Sure, while AJ is out doing what he does.
All right.
All right, fellas.
Take care, man. Be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Friday is Trailer Wheel and Frame Friday. The earlier shows will be broadcasting live from the best trailer dealer in town. Plus, Kurt and Trailer Wheel and Frame are giving away a Kurt gooseneck hitch with free installation. Trailer Wheel and Frame is conveniently located on 45 North, just after West Canino. Come out, catch the live shows, win great prizes, and enjoy complimentary refreshments from Cat's Coffee, Rudy's Barbecue, and St. Arnold's Brewery. That is Friday. So, okay, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I had a bunch of really good contenders, and then Dr. Dre on 290 tweeted this one at me, and I had to use it. Speaking of Dr. Dre, I was telling you I watched the first two of those Defiant ones last
night. Yeah.
Well worth the time. If you haven't seen it, I didn't realize dude banged Stevie Nicks.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
What's going on with Stevie Nicks' makeup, though?
You know what? Even at this age, I would.
It's
a little caked on.
Her eye makeup makes her look like she has two sets of eyebrows. It's weird.
It's very strange, but I still would. There's other ways where you don't have to look at that. All right, so here's your gem of the day, where we go to Kangpong Cham, Cambodia, where a poor man named, well, it wasn't poor necessarily, but this incident did not go well for him. Chia Sokot was just repairing his boat on the shore. And suddenly, out of the sky, a meat cleaver hit him in the head.
Yeesh.
And it started after his cousin and next-door neighbor, Touch Chana, and her husband, Sim Thea, got into an argument. Sim Thea, the man, slashed her clothes with a meat cleaver. Somehow, she successfully disarmed him, which, okay, this is a pretty small woman. She managed to disarm him, thought she'd remove the danger by throwing the knife through a window towards the river behind their home. And, of course, the blade landed directly on Sokot while he was working.
Oh, no.
The wife was arrested over the incident while officers investigated. I love these names. Lieutenant Colonel Ek Pranon, the Kampong Siem District Police Chief, said, Touch Chana was arrested for causing the accident. There's actual pictures of this because they couldn't take it out until they got to the hospital.
He's alive?
According to his doctor, Dr. Yoon Sinat, said the injuries were severe and his condition was serious but stable.
All right.
But she said she was arguing with her husband in a case of domestic violence. Her husband cut her clothes and she pulled the knife from him and threw the knife into the river behind the house. Unfortunately, this landed in the head of the victim.
Jeez.
Here's an interesting question.
When knife hits your skull.
Yeah. Do you die?
No.
But Dr. Sinath said that if the knife had been removed straight away, the bleeding could cause a fatal accident. And then eventually he's going to be transferred to the hospital in Phnom Penh in Cambodia. So let this be a lesson. If you're having a domestic violence fight and you're on the second floor, don't throw a meat cleaver out the window.
No.
Guess he got it through his head. He wasn't wanted in that town. No?
I see what you did there.
Oh, but I had to share that, but it's from the Daily Mail, so I'm guessing it's true, but, I mean, the pictures are pretty. There's a picture of him in the hospital with this cleaver sticking out of his head. And, yeah, that's not cool. But the woman who threw it is kind of a tiny little thing.
So she could have thrown it harder if she were bigger.
Yeah, and that probably would have ended him.
If it were a Matilda-type lady.
But somehow she got it away from her husband, so there's no pictures of him. I'd like to figure out just how small he is. Where does Cambodia rank on your Asian scale, John?
Ooh, oh. Can I guess?
I don't know necessarily have a Asian list.
But you have a general idea in your head of how Asians rank. I bet Cambodians are very, very low on the Asian ranking list.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
Really?
You're a liar.
Yeah, this is the same guy who broke down in detail.
You're
every
the
one
who told us about this.
We didn't even know.
No. I'm saying that us as in general have one, but I don't have one.
Right, but what's the in general hierarchy?
Near the middle.
Near the middle, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Ahead of Vietnam?
Well, I don't know, because I prefer Vietnamese food over Cambodian food. They're very similar, though.
Oh, for sure. The food in Vietnamese food is better.
No, but Cambodian food, it's similar. It's very similar.
What about Thai food?
Thai's a lot more spicier.
But we're not talking about food. We're talking about, you told us there's a people ranking system.
Well, I don't know exactly where they rank.
Who can you ask? Your parents?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, ask your parents what they think of Cambodians.
Well, we know you had the Koreans at the very top, right?
Koreans and Japanese are at the top, right?
It depends on who you're talking to.
Right.
If you're talking to a Korean, you're asking where to rank a Japanese person, they're going to put them at the bottom because they don't like...
Oh, really?
Japanese don't like Koreans. Koreans don't like Japanese.
But like, from an outsider's view, that's like 1 and 1A, right?
I mean, it depends on what you... I mean, what's your criteria?
Hot women. See, I like Japanese women, so...
I want to know, like, in a social setting, like, who's got the highest stature?
Now, I mean, what are you basing it on?
Listen, it's just, I don't know. It's just, you have to know, John.
Well, yeah, you created
the,
this
yeah,
thing.
You're the one who told
you
us.
You brought this to us. And we I know didn't know anything about it.
I know damn well there's a hierarchy amongst Hispanics, and they're willing to talk about it. They're willing to say, like, who ranks up high, who ranks down low. But for some reason, you seem weary to tell us where
you,
these people
you know
rank.
He's marrying a Vietnamese girl. Let's change this whole outlook.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you did say that your dad was mad about that you marrying a Vietnamese girl.
Well, he would have been mad if it was anybody but a Korean girl.
Would he have been more mad if she were Japanese?
I think so.
Okay.
Japanese or Chinese would be worse.
What about
what
Cambodian?
What about North Korean?
I don't think I would ever meet one.
But that's the worst, right?
I don't think so. I don't necessarily.
Didn't they go to war with South Korea?
Yeah, they did.
Like, that's the worst.
But Japan and China took over Korea and basically, you know, ruled over it, so.
Mm. What about Philippines?
Indifferent, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. You're not being honest with this.
Yeah, he's not helping us. I just want to know where the Cambodians rank. I thought it was a simple question. Are they top five? Top eight?
He doesn't
I don't
want
know.
To talk about it.
Oh, well. Well, I'll tell you what, I do want to talk about Houston Can Academies, and I'll tell you what, the Blitzers have continued to step up. School is right around the corner, and they're going to need your help. They're going to have a whole bunch of new students, and a lot of these kids who've dropped out of other schools, they're getting a second chance at Houston Can Academies, and the Houston Can Academy is going to work around whatever issues it was that forced them to drop out, and you can help, and be the next Blitzer to donate. Because here's what they take. Cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs. Doesn't matter if they're running. Doesn't matter what kind of shape they're in. Maybe they're all rusted out. That's okay. They'll take it. They'll come tow it free of charge. They process all the paperwork. Your donation's tax deductible. So think about this. You can get rid of something that you don't know what to do with. You know, maybe it's just been sitting out there and you were going to fix it up. You never got around to it. Now it won't start. You're thinking maybe I'll sell it. And it's like, I don't know. You know what? Just make the call. And if you do it today and tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, how about this, a $50 Visa gift card on top of everything else? So you can do a good thing to help out schools right around the corner. You can help them out right now. Get rid of something you don't need. Get that tax deduction. It's a win-win-win for everybody. 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.